What's Trending brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
The Houston Texans have fired coach David Culley after a 1-4-13 season. I'm still trying to figure this one out, Joe. Never had his quarterback. Yeah. Was there for one season. They hired him last year. He's 65 years old. He had spent, let me get this number right, 43 years as an assistant at the college and NFL level before getting a chance to be a first-time head coach at the age of 65. Didn't have Deshaun Watson. They swept the Jaguars. We'll remember that.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Davis Mills, quarterback from Stanford, in the second round. He started most of the second half of the season. Last four games, he looked pretty good. So I don't know what was expected of David Culley without Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I know they only gave him 2 years on the contract.
Yeah, that told you everything you needed to know. They never really had any intention of giving David Culley a chance. And it's interesting. I went back and I was trying to see if I was misremembering the conversation around David Culley. Not like we spend a lot of time talking about the Houston Texans, but they had become such a dumpster fire that it became an undesirable job. And Culley, when he got hired, I went back and looked. My thought was at that time, he essentially is a placeholder for whatever they need to do to get in order to become a desirable job, whether it's they get all these draft picks for Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Watson decides he wants to stay or they get the right guy that Deshaun Watson wants, David Culley will be shown the door. And The Athletic actually had a piece on this back when he got hired, and David Culley had this quote. I had people tell me that they feel sorry for me. Do they know what I do? I'm the head coach of the Houston Texans. So all of us knew where this was going. And then you start to find out the inner workings of the Houston Texans, and there's two things that are going on right now. One of them is no intention to keep David Culley, and the optics of a black head coach being given no chance to actually succeed, even though he did a pretty good season, all things considered. And then the inner workings that include guys like Nick Caserio, a part of the front office. Aaron Reese, who covers the Texans for The Athletic, had a tweet about 40 minutes ago saying that Nick Caserio was part of David Culley's practices, was on the headset advising Culley on game management. So these are the things that are apparently going on behind the scenes. These are the guys who are making the decisions. You want to go work for that? I get that it's one of 32 available jobs, but of all the jobs, this might be the worst one to take. And that's saying something given what's going on with the Carolina Panthers right now.
Yeah, I still, it's amazing to me that they could have just give the guy 1 year like that with no quarterback. Yeah. But they actually did draft a quarterback at least and didn't waste. I mean, because remember, you mentioned that they're a mess, and a big part of that mess is all of the moves they made around to try to win with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. To win now with Bill O'Brien, and they traded away all their draft capital, so that's why they had to take Davis Mills when they did. So for me, to see a guy even get a chance to develop and for him to be productive in the last month of the season, that would seem to be one of the benchmarks. But to your point, they had no interest in having any future with him anyway.
They never had an interest in having him be the head coach. He's, what, 66 years old?
Yes.
So right off the bat, I mean, the obvious...
He was a bridge head coach, apparently, like Teddy Bridgewater.
I feel like, yeah... I feel like pointing out that David Culley is black is beside the point. I think we all understand the dynamics here. And there's only one active black head coach right now, which is damning for the NFL. And if it remains that way with this offseason of hiring, it's going to be really, really bad for Roger Goodell, where they've spent I don't know how long trying to convince you that they're going to end racism by putting a spray-painted logo in the end zone. And then they have this happen, where... This idea that in the NFL, your hard work and it pays off with the meritocracy of the job and everything else. No, that's not how it works. Because if it really was about results, then David Culley would have been brought back for another season.
Well, Brian Flores, too. I mean,
but it also speaks to a little ageism as well. Because at 66 years old, that's not what NFL teams are looking for right now. They're looking for that next 30-something, 40-something head coach that's going to be their longtime Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin or whatever. And when I saw what David Culley's age was when he got that job, that was another indication to me that he wasn't going to be long for that job. Next up.
Number four.
Carolina Hurricanes are back in action tonight. Columbus Blue Jackets. This game is happening, thankfully. It is a Hulu ESPN Plus game tonight. So if you're trying to scramble and find it on Bally, you will not find it there. Just a heads up on that one. You can listen to that game here on 99.9 The Fan. Trip Tracy will be doing play-by-play with Shane Willis as the analyst. Mike Maniscalco is in COVID protocol. He's asymptomatic. Hopefully he'll be back soon. So the Canes have had this really weird last couple of weeks where, you know, the NHL shuts down for a little bit. Games that they were supposed to play against Canadian teams, those got postponed. They've gone through their own COVID issues. Tuesday night's game against the Philadelphia Flyers was postponed because of reasons by the NHL. We talked to the captain, Jordan Staal, yesterday about these dynamics and what was more mentally taxing when things shut down in 2020 and you didn't know when you were going to play hockey again, or this stop, start, stop, start?
Yeah, that limbo, was it kind of midsummer or whatever it was rough. You know, it's like every other week you're kind of hearing something different. You're not really sure how to train or prepare or get ready for whatever is coming up. And so that's what was a little more difficult than now. I mean, you know, you might get the odd game here and there postponed. I think they've done a pretty good job of at least giving us a heads up besides the last one. But it's like I said, it's part of the world, and we're not the only ones dealing with this thing and the uncertainty of everything, really. And, you know, it's part of the job.
So that was Jordan Staal with us yesterday. If you missed any of that interview, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast. We talked to Trip Tracy earlier today ahead of tonight's game, and one of the storylines is Jack LaFontaine, 24-year-old goalie from Minnesota college. He has his entry-level contract. He's going to be backing up Freddie Anderson tonight while Antti Raanta is still out with an injury. So is he going to play?
That's Pat Russell Wilson LaFontaine to you, sir.
So what, Minnesota and Michigan State?
He started his college career at Michigan, went and got washed at the hockey equivalent of a junior college, and then got back at Minnesota. He's 24 years old. I mean, he might be older than Braxton Beverley. I'm not sure. But he was playing college hockey for Minnesota this season, as we speak, and then gets plucked by the Hurricanes.
The only thing that would have made that better is if he left a Big Ten school to join Boston College.
Right, right.
That would have been like the reverse Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Or Notre Dame. Or Notre Dame.
Or no, yeah, you're sure. In Notre Dame. That would make sense, too. That would make sense, too. Six part podcast on Jack LaFontaine.
Not related to Pat LaFontaine.
No, absolutely not. But he's going to be backing up tonight to Freddie Anderson. We talked to Trip Tracy about these dynamics and whether or not we're actually going to see Jack LaFontaine sooner than later.
No, he's my understanding is he will back up. Okay. Freddie Anderson will play. But it's, you know, I think it's really a very fine job done by the Hurricanes organization to be able to get him signed, and what an opportunity for a couple of different reasons, guys. You know, that the Hurricanes tried to lure him out of school after he won the Mike Richter Award, the College Goalie of the Year at Minnesota, completing his junior season last year, and he elected to go back to school, which the Canes supported. And if you march several months from now with that loophole that I hope changes in the CBA, to be honest, that like an Adam Fox, if the Hurricanes hadn't traded him and he had played his senior year, eventually good chance LaFontaine would end up being an unrestricted free agent. And that would have been a bitter pill to swallow with the type of prospect that he is. So with not just goaltenders hurt at the NHL level, guys, but in the American Hockey League level, it was the right time to make a pitch. Jack was playing a couple of games at Michigan State last weekend. Jason Mazzotti, my one-time roommate, my first NHL training camp, did a heck of a job building a relationship as the goaltending development coach in the organization. And the Hurricanes were able to sign Jack, and Jack recognized that there's a heck of an opportunity here. And he'll back up tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a game here in the near future. He is a player, in my view, that has tremendous maturity. self-belief that you have to have. I know that because I knew my goaltending career was cooked when I had to admit to myself I didn't have that. But he has humility simultaneously. So he has some tremendous tools. Can't wait to watch him. It just, you know, if everything goes according to plan, it won't be tonight.
That was Tripp Tracy, who will be on the call tonight, which you can listen to on 99.9 The Fan later this evening as the Carolina Hurricanes get ready to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Next up.
Number three.
Tom Brady and the Philadelphia Eagles are getting together in the postseason for the first time since the Eagles beat Brady and the Patriots in Super Bowl 52, Joe. Did you realize that after that game, the big Nick Magic, Nick Foles, led the Eagles to the 41-33 win? Did you realize after that game that Tom Brady did not shake Nick Foles' hand?
What?
Yes. And did you realize last year when Tom Brady lost to the Bears and big Nick Magic, he didn't shake his hand again?
Is he intimidated by that big Nick Magic?
I don't know, but actually one Eagles reporter asked Brady about this like ongoing obsession that Eagles fans have with Tom Brady, the bad sport.
In the Super Bowl. I'm wondering, how aware are you? Those fans are obsessed with you not shaking Nick Foles' hand after that game. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I've
shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, though, so I have a lot of respect for Nick, and you know, I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that, because sometimes I get a little pissed out there, but for the most part, I try to be a good sport.
Didn't that sound like Mike Ewald asking the question?
I am so glad you brought that up. Play that again, Rand.
I'm wondering, how aware are you? Those fans are obsessed with you not shaking Nick Foles' hand after that
Ewald
game.
Ewald works in the back office. That is so Ewald. I'm like, wait a minute. Why is he asking him? Why is Ewald asking a
Giants
question?
He's
a Giants guy. Well, what am I missing here?
NFC East solidarity. Only people who can beat Brady in the Super Bowl are from the NFC East. So
you know what? Tom Brady can make good on not shaking Nick Foles' hand by sending him some new Tom Brady clothes. Have you seen the new Brady gear?
Unfortunately, no.
So
is it made out of avocado oil?
So he's selling hoodies for like $150.
Yeah.
You know, moisture wicking, energy absorbing, chakra correcting, you know, shirts for $75 or $95 or whatever. I don't know. It's whatever Tom Brady's into.
Are you sure it's not what Giselle's into?
No, I'm pretty sure it's what Tom is into.
My husband can't make the sweatshirts and wear them.
But he has actually coined the phrase lifeletics.
Oh.
Not athletics, lifeletics. Okay, Tom. Who's the market for that?
Yeah, man, you'd be surprised. I was at that Panthers Bucks game at day after Christmas down in Charlotte.
Tuomi.
And there were a lot of Patriots Tom Brady jerseys. There was a lot of Buccaneer Tom Brady jerseys.
Do you think we can come up with our own clothing line?
I do not. I think everyone in clothing has the same idea as the guy with, like, I'm going to open up a restaurant. We're going to sell pizza. It's going to be a great
bar. But who else? Well, you know, it's funny. My dream was always, and I eventually gave up on this dream, but my dream was always to open up like a Cuban sandwich coffee window.
Yeah.
Like in downtown Raleigh. Because, you know, you can go down Miami, you can get yourself a little cafecito, little croquetas late at night, you know, all that kind of
stuff.
Sounds
great, man.
It's a great idea.
You got to realize.
Well, here's the thing. Shout out to my guy, Dan Clues.
Yeah.
At Clues Coney Island, him and his son. I realized, oh, wait a minute. You're there all the time. Like, that is a labor of love, man. And I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. But yeah, we could come up with Fanletics, and we could have an exclusive market on faux retro beard gang shirts.
We just cut you off now, Joe. It won't work.
I'm telling you. Let's do this. Jillio, you can have your own line of cutoff hoodies.
I know, it would be great, but it'd be a party of one, man.
All right, next up.
Number two.
So the Carolina Panthers are in the middle of looking for an offensive coordinator, and the names that are out there right now haven't exactly been lighting the world on fire. And Jillio and I talked about this yesterday. My theory as to why the offensive coordinator pool for the Carolina Panthers isn't so great or isn't really wowing anybody is because I think the league understands that Matt Rhule isn't long for the job. So why would you potentially set yourself back by taking a job that you're going to get fired from after one season. Who do you think I am, David Culley? They don't want that. So that's, I think that's where the Panthers are in terms of their offensive coordinator hiring right now. Unless, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, they could knock my socks off, which we can, we'll sell on 99.9 The Fan with our faces on it. Fan socks. So anyway, here's Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And the other reason why the offensive coordinator role for the Panthers is a tough sell is because who's the quarterback going to be? There isn't necessarily anybody in this year's draft that people want to have, and you're stuck with one season of Sam Darnold and a bad offensive line. That is a lot of bad parameters to take over as an offensive coordinator. But Matt Rhule is on with WFNZ this morning on the Mac Attack, and to that quarterback issue, Rhule probably gave, if you can sift through the random tangents he goes on, goes through the plan they were supposed to have, but didn't.
Yeah, I think the thought with Teddy 2 years ago was you know, he was coming off, you know, I mean, he was a first round draft pick. He had taken his team to 13-3 in Minnesota, and then had that terrible knee injury. Had gone to New Orleans, had had won 5 in a row, and so you know, we weren't the only team. You know, we were bidding against some other teams to try to get. You know, he obviously knew Joe Brady's system. We thought, okay, he's a guy that can come in here. And I think part of the problem was just, part of the thought process was, hey, let's stabilize the position, get a good veteran in here, and then when the chance comes to, you know, to draft what we think might be a franchise quarterback. And the numbers on hitting on franchise quarterbacks are less than 50%. I think we all know. I think it's like in the 20%. But let's get a veteran quarterback, kind of like the Chiefs did with Alex Smith. And then if a Mahomes comes along, let's take Patrick Mahomes. You know, so. When I say Mahomes, I mean a guy in the draft. So that was the thought process. You know, obviously Teddy. You know, we had some close games. You know, there was a lot of you know, frustration with Teddy. Obviously, I mean, you know, the people of the city love Cam Newton. Cam's awesome. He's a great player. Is a great player. Is a great teammate. Was one of my favorite parts of this year was being a part of him. You know, there was kind of, you know, Teddy struggled through the end of the year. Got banged up. You know, we made a decision organizationally just to like, hey, you know what, let's try to go get a younger quarterback now and see what happens. So obviously made some runs at some guys, almost thought we had some guys that could have been franchise quarterbacks, to be quite honest with you. One thing I hope you guys know, I hope the fans know, is it's not throwing darts at the wall. We have taken as many shots as possible at finding the right person that can win a Super Bowl for us. So, you made the trade for Sam, felt like, you know, the way the scouts always look at it is a number two, a second round draft pick a year from now is really like a third round draft pick in their mind. That's been taught to me. I don't know if that's how I see it, but that was the thought process. Sam was young. We thought, can we mold him? So we brought Sam in.
Did he really just say it's not just throwing darts?
Yeah, that's what he said. Whew. Not throwing darts.
That was some serious stream of conscious.
That's kind of where he's been at the end of the regular season and this offseason. He's just kind of in this and that, and it's like he kind of sounds.
You know, we weren't the only ones who wanted Teddy.
Look,
right? Yeah, he went 5-0 with the Saints.
Yeah, no,
that's a good thing.
People looked at the Teddy Bridgewater move as a good
thing.
Yeah,
that wasn't a bad move.
I thought it was curious that he blamed people not getting over Cam Newton. No, people were mad at you at how you handled Cam Newton's departure.
Right.
Not that you moved on from Cam Newton. And then the same thing too with this whole idea, like, oh, we could have had some franchise QBs. Are you talking about the Deshaun Watson potential trade? Are you talking about why you didn't draft a Justin Fields or a Mac Jones? Like, where exactly are you going with this? And I don't think I'm being insulting when I say this, and we'll close this Matt Rhule discussion on this. I think if we were to have a conversation with Matt Rhule, we could vibe on a dad level. Like, we can all just vibe on dad bro levels right now, because he strikes me as like a dad bro, just like you and me. The rate at which he talks sounds like my 13-year-old trying to explain why he's missing assignments right now. Oh, well, you know, Canvas hasn't been updated. You know, my teachers, they haven't upgraded the grades yet. You know, I was going to get around to that. And, you know, well, that's not due until next week. And, Like, that's what that sounds like to me. Just run-on sentences of like, well, right, but why didn't you do it? That's kind of where we are right now with Cully, or with Matt Rhule. All right, next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one! We're number one!
By the way, since I'm working from home, I'm hoping these subliminal messages to my son translate.
Getting through the walls?
He can hear me through the walls. Actually, he can't. He's got his headphones on playing something. I have no idea what he's playing.
He's not listening to the show?
What? No, he's not listening to the show. He's too busy playing. He's too busy playing games online with his friends, which is fine. Kid just got over COVID. I'm not going to knock it. So it's fine. So last night, both Duke and NC State won on the road, both important for differing reasons. We'll start with Duke over Wake Forest. I thought the second half, Giglio, was Duke just trying to emphatically state, yes, we dealt with some COVID issues. Yes, we lost to Miami over the weekend. Yeah, we read all your little tweets. Now we're going to try to yam on Wake Forest to make our points, because they were really trying to stunt on Wake late, even though when that game was in hand.
Yeah, I continue to be impressed by the defensive pressure and the intensity that Duke plays on that side of the ball, and the way that they're able to create baskets. As we saw in the Miami game, they're not a perfect offensive machine when they have to get into a half-court set. They're not a great shooting team. Mm-hmm. But they are able to compensate by their defensive effort. AJ Griffin is something else. I mean, he's really coming on. He made his first start last night. He's giving Duke the third type of player that they need to make a Final Four and national championship run. If he's going to play that way with Banchero and Keels, then Duke's got a chance because of what Wendell Moore can do as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of complementary pieces. I don't want to make this a one-to-one comparison with the 2015 National Championship team. But
I think it's fair in this case, though.
I think they had a group of talented freshmen, a trio of talented freshmen, and they had a veteran, a senior in Quinn Cook, but in the case of Wendell Moore, a guy who's been through this and understands what it takes to get to that next level. We saw that earlier on. So I do like the trajectory of Duke so far. And look, it's just one game. You can't take too much away from it. But John Shire did look the part last night.
I love his demeanor on the sideline. Love the way that he interacted with the players and had a real calmness to him. He wasn't trying to impress anybody, which I think in that spot you could be fall prone to.
Yeah, and I think my theory on that is he knows he has the job. He's not trying to audition. The job is his. So he's going to be him. It wasn't the same situation as Rand. Hold on a second. Rand, you know I can see your screen, right?
I thought you could only see the other one.
No, I can see everything you do.
Dang.
Are you playing Wordle right now?
Somebody said it was hard today.
All right, so.
Oh, it's actually. I won't.
No, go back. No, no. Rand, no. Rand, go back. Go back. Go back. Go back.
It's back.
Let's see it. Let me see your screen.
So far, I've only
we
got one.
Super faked. All right, so you got A, and the A is right, but in the wrong place. What's the next one?
I don't know.
We're just going to do Wordle. We might as well just do Wordle live on the air if that's what you want to do.
No, I'm good.
No, let's go.
Let's go.
You got four more chances.
Since you can see the screen, you can tell me what you want next.
E is correct. Mm-hmm. Faked, the A is correct, but in the wrong spot. Yeah. E is in the right spot.
Yeah. Didn't you already do it today, Joe?
I thought you did.
No, I didn't. Oh. I don't play Wordle.
Oh, I already
don't
play did it Wordle. Today.
I thought
so you know it?
Yeah.
I thought you did do it, but you didn't post it. That's the thing.
No. What is it? Just give Rand so we can get it on the third try.
Yeah, just tell me what it is.
I'm not going to tell him.
Well, fine. I'll just do it later then.
All right, fine.
Note to self.
who's gonna be the radio show brave enough to just announce what the Wordle is that day to tick everybody off? Could it be us?
No.
We don't want to be that guy?
No.
People would be so upset.
That's not fun.
Well, apparently the show's not fun because Rand is too busy doing Wordle in the
second. Listen, you're the one selling him out. We're like 5 minutes past the break, Ovius. It's really not mine.
Right. So instead, why don't you do your job and tell me to go to break rather than playing Wordle?
Because
no wonder you don't know what time it is.
People said it was tough. I just wanted to see.
You could do that during the break.
we were almost there.
Ridiculous. We need two contestants to play You're Full of It, Chilio. 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. We got some Bon Jovi tickets to give away. April 9th. You can win them right now.
Never going to hear the end of that one.
No, you're not. You're not. You're not. Ridiculous. All right. So, I mean, you guys might just play Uno while I'm doing the show, for heaven's sake.
No, not again.
Yeah, right.